This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Hello again. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. So glad you have joined us as we take a trip into the NASCAR garage, and we have a ball doing it each and every week. Steve Post, pit road reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined as I am each and every week by 25-time winning crew chief, championship-winning crew chief, Jimmy Johnson's crew chief. I've added to this. Todd Gordon is here. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah.
How was Todd Gordon's Daytona 500 adventure?
It was an adventure. It was good. We had pace. Nervous, really nervous. Show up. Jimmy and Todd, we're two rookies, right?
Yeah.
Right. We've never raced this car before. But didn't have any practice. Show up on Wednesday without a charter, and you got to be one of the two fastest to make your weekend flow well. We accomplished the goal. We ended up overall fastest of the non-chartered cars. Jimmy did a good job with it, and everybody at Legacy Motor Club. I'm going to take no credit for this. They all did it, and I got to show up and help a little bit with it. But Wednesday took the pressure off. Thursday was a little bit of a challenge. We learned a lot of things that we needed to work on Friday and Saturday, and we did. And I thought our race car was decent come Sunday. I don't know. It's just racing's what it was. But drove our way up into a top. What I think we finished the first stage seventh from the back row. So pretty decent run and things to work off of, and looking forward to the next four.
Getting back on the pit box. Yeah. I know the energy, the vibe, the juice. You know, you've had a lot of fun doing MRN and stepping away a little bit, getting back on the pit box. What was that like for you?
It was cool. I mean, I was back home. Yeah. It's a little different because you don't have the same people around you.
It's a different curve.
If you looked at it at Team Penske, whether it was the 22 or 12, when we made the driver and crew swap, I kept all my guys with me.
Oh yeah, so you had the same.
Raymond Fox has been my car chief since like 2013, and to see the whole group, the 12 group in the garage, and we rolled through tech. Of course, this is how this always works, right?
Yeah,
bumper to tail. Yeah. So
Raymond do that. Well, wait a minute, no Raymond do that.
Yeah. So different personalities and different things around, but the just digesting the race and trying to make sure you're on top of things. It's old hat. That part of it's the same. Working with this car,
yeah,
it's completely different.
Is it really? Is there a couple of things that just stand out to you? The bigger differences.
One, it's a composite body, so you're there's no mud, there's no bond.
You're not in control of it.
It's nuts and bolts, right? So getting them through, and then how tight the underbody scan is, and you know, we talk, and we've talked on this in the past, like the outer body, we get plus or minus 150,000. So it's like 5/32 of an inch. Well, the underwing, the whole bottom surface of the car is 100,000. It's less than, it's like 3/32 of an inch.
Jeez.
So it's, and they've got a great digital scanner, the scanner that they're using this year, that's really kind of tightened that up. So understanding how to work on all that stuff is, there's a lot of... This rookie right here had a lot of learning to do.
That is fantastic. That really is. Daytona Speed Weeks across the board was just fun. There was so much energy. It started, you had Jimmy Johnson returning, Travis Pastrana there, Connor Daly was there. Turns out Zane Smith is the one that raced his way in, and we're going to talk to Chris Lawson, his crew chief on the truck side and on the cup side. So that is our guest. Chris is our guest here. Man, they had a spectacular weekend. Truck race, they did win the truck race. Zane Smith did win it with Chris Lawson. Andy Street and Austin Hill up at RCR, they won the Xfinity race. Greg Van Alst won the Arca Menards race. If you haven't seen it, I wish we had the MRN interview. We don't have that out there. But go Google.
Find it.
Greg Van Alst's victory lane.
His genuine excitement.
Oh, my gosh. Guys like me don't win races like this. And I was lucky with MRN. I had the moment when his wife and his two boys got to see him for the first time.
That's awesome.
Dude, I'm telling you what, it's like, who brought the onions to Victory Lane? I mean, they were all crying, and I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. Why am I tearing up on this? Great, great moment. And then the 500. And then JTG Daugherty Racing. I want to kind of start a little bit on this right at the top. Tad and Jody Geschechter. Tad was a marketing guru at Procter & Gamble.
Yep.
And fell in love with racing and decided he wanted to field a Busch Series team, ST Motorsports.
Which would have been back in like 99?
Yeah.
98, 99?
At least.
It's in the 90s. It's in the 90s because I remember racing against him in the 90s.
It might have gone a little bit, might have gone just a little bit further because I moved in 95 and I think they were starting right. Yeah. They might have been. Okay. Anyhow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's anyhow. In the 90s. So he's deep into this track.
And he's not, you know, a Roger Penske, Rick Hendrick, Jack Roush automotive guy. He's not the, you know.
And not independently wealthy
He's scratched and clawed his way into it. Where he is, though, is the marketing savvy. Mm-hmm. And he's been able to find partners to go along with this. And they've scratched and clawed. They actually got to a two-car cup team and then have scaled back and found their sweet spot with the size of operation they have. Great partnership with Kroger. And it's never bad when the Kroger guy is at the Daytona 500 when you win the Daytona 500. Your Kroger guy with some confetti in his hair is a really good partner to have. But Tad and Jody Geschechter, just two of the finest people in the industry, and to see them win the Great American Race is really cool.
Yeah, and put on top of that, their partner in ownership of Brad Doherty, bringing from the media side, has been great on all the aspects.
Yeah. Ricky Stenhouse, if you know me, you know I do the Sprint Car Show, Wing Nation. Ricky and I are buds. We talk sprint car racing, so it was a real thrill just to be in Victory Lane with him. Mike Kelly, the crew chief.
Yeah.
Mike Kelly is just one of the most fascinating stories. Career first win as a Cup Series crew chief. The last race that he was a Cup Series crew chief on was 2019.
Yep.
He had been, Mike Kelly and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. are friends, good friends. They had a lot of success.
Two-time Xfinity Series champions.
Correct.
As 12 crew wins. Chief and driver.
Yeah, so 12 wins.
They know how to win together.
And this started, I think, at Roush Fenway Racing and moved over to JTG Daugherty Racing when it was decided that Mike's role as crew chief was not where he needed to be. He needed to be car chief and shop foreman and everything else. Mike said, okay, that's it. I'm telling you, it takes a special person when you're told, we no longer want you to be crew chief, but we want you to stay with the operation. I'll do whatever you guys need me to do. I'll do anything. And then to sit and to be in that role and to be such a key cog to that team, and then things change up and say, yeah, Kelly, maybe we do need you on top of the pit box.
Yeah.
And they get on top of the pit box and wins the Daytona 500. Mike and his wife Dana and our friends, it just is an extremely good feel-good story for everybody from the top to the bottom, everybody on the crew. You know, those teams, everyone works so hard, and to get a win like that is big.
Yeah, and this is a team that I felt like the last third of the season last year really kind of started to elevate themselves into being, they were bumping on the top 10s. They were finding their way into that. I mean, really, if you looked at the last third of the season last year, I thought the JTG Daugherty program was finding its kind of pocket.
Yeah.
And then what a way to kick off the season. And this one takes the pressure off.
No doubt.
Where you can start to race a little bit looser. You know, you're in a good position. It'll be fun to watch what happens out of this program going forward through the, I mean, this West Coast swing's a grind. Let's see how they come out of it.
Well, and they have an alliance with Hendrick Motorsports.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the other thing, and we'll go right back to, we talked about Tad Geschechter. He is a marketing genius. And he has got 9 months to rally funds for what we all believe should be a playoff run. I mean, what can you do? Can you bolster that alliance with Hendrick or with Chevrolet? Can you leverage a little bit more time here, leverage a little bit more time there? I just think this is what a huge win.
If nothing else, they substantiated themselves as a playoff car.
Correct.
For Chevrolet's, for their requests.
Right.
You know, they're even if it's just a little more simulator time.
Yep.
Ricky's talked about that they've gotten more out of that this year and in some of his interviews he did. We'll see where that all falls out, but there's a lot to do there.
No doubt.
And then the next one, the caveat we can go to, We had 19 winners last year. The 47 car wasn't one of them.
Wasn't one of them. Yeah. We were talking
How many
about
can
that.
We have this year? That's a whole other discussion to
Stay
have.
Stay tuned for that. That's for sure. We'll answer some of those questions over the next like 16 weeks because we're going strong. The next off weekend is Father's Day weekend for the Cup Series.
Yep.
Man, oh man, it's going to be fun. That's for sure. And we're going to be here all year long on Crew Call talking about it. And let's get the party started. When we come back, we will be joined by the winning crew chief from Friday night's Truck Series race, finished 13th in the Daytona 500, Chris Lawson. He joins us on Crew Call coming up.
Hey, everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call, and in the picking up right where they left off category with the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series was the Front Row Motorsports team. Zane Smith, the driver, and Chris Lawson, the crew chief, joins us after another win at Daytona. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Good, good. Chris, you have a championship-winning season. You have so much energy at the end of last year. I can't imagine the good feeling it is, the good vibes it is to know that you've maintained that over the off season and go right back to victory lane at Daytona.
Yeah, it felt good to, just pick up where we left off, but just the chemistry and everything that our whole team had last year is not lost. Everybody was on the same page and we knew exactly what we were doing when we got there. And that always feels really good.
We talked to you last year after your championship to end the crew call piece. And you talked about how you guys worked with DGR and some of the facets of fabrication and things that you had to take on. Talk about with them leaving to Toyota, what you've had to do with your program. I mean, it seems like the same thing going forward and the same success going forward, but you've had to take different things on in the program, right?
Yeah, it's been a big undertaking. We started hanging our own bodies here in house. We were getting them last year from DGR, and now that they switched to Toyota, we kind of assumed that on our own. And it's been a lot. I'll be honest with you. I used to do it back in the day. It's probably been, you know, eight or 9 years since I've even hung a truck body. And I told those guys the other day, I was putting some B posts on a truck and I haven't touched an English wheel in 10 years. So I had to hone some skill and some stuff I didn't know I could do anymore. So, but it's cool. I honestly have been enjoying it. It's neat to have it in house and feel like you got a little more control over that. So I do like that part. I feel like moving forward, that's going to be a benefit for us.
So are you physically hanging the bodies now? Do you have people you've added onto the program to do that? How's that working out for you?
We're still looking. So, I feel like it's never ending. It's really hard to find people, right now for anything and let alone a skill that I feel like has gone by the wayside, you know, years ago in cup racing. So it's hard to draw from that like we used to back in the day. But we're getting there. We do have one guy now in house that's helping hang bodies. And yes, I have actually physically been doing them myself as well. So it's been, like I said, it's been fun, but it's taken a little bit more, my attention away from things that I probably need to be focusing on. So, we're definitely still looking for more people.
One of the things we talked about, and even in the post-championship press conference, Jerry Freeze, the GM up there, talked about is the cohesive group that you have there on that Truck Series team. Success sometimes breeds poaching. You know, guys come along and people go. Were you able to maintain your core group of guys for the Truck Series program this year?
We were. We were very fortunate to have everybody that we had last year, and they all stayed on for this year. So we replaced one guy. We moved our interior tire guy up to be a cup guy. So great deal for him. I'm happy for him. And, you know, he made that step, and we replaced him with a guy that has never even seen a truck or a cup car or anything. So it's going to be a learning experience for all of us to teach him and get him up to speed. But so far, he's done a great job. He's already not made any mistakes that we know of. And I feel like he's going to be a good fit to our crew.
So
not many mistakes do we know of. There we go.
He's got somebody like you watching over his shoulder and giving a little guidance. Funny. I think it's a great skill set. He'll pick up. He'll have great teaching. Right. Weekend that you had. Phenomenal weekend. Really. Come out in the truck series and the outside, the fan base looking in doesn't really see everything that went into it. You won the truck race. You qualified for the 500. Came out of there with a 13th place finish. And this wasn't. You didn't just get to go sit on the box. You had to do it all for both of those, didn't you?
Yeah, it was. I had some help. Definitely had a lot of help with the cup car, but it was good. It was a good experience for me and our whole team to experience that side of the garage and see how those processes are and how they work. And honestly, gave me a kind of a little more appreciation for the truck side, I think. But it was still a really cool experience and to be able to do that.
A lot of times when we see these drivers do double duties, we see a driver with a helmet sprinting across the garage area. Did you have any of those moments where you were hustling around or you or your guys were hustling across the garage area to get to the other side for the next event practice or qualifying or race?
Yeah, the duels for us was really, really tough. So we were finishing up our, garage closing in the truck side, and we had to be ready for tech the next morning. So we basically had to finish our truck, have it race ready and on the ground, and then we had to jet over to the cup side to make it for the duels. And unfortunately, we're in the first duel, so it made it even worse. But I think we got over there about two laps into the duel. So it was cool. I like that hustle. It's fun to me. I enjoy the pressure of that. But it was definitely a lot. Like, I got over there and I'm like, okay, where are we at? What are we doing? I'm like, just had so much truck stuff going on that it took me a few laps to get a hold of it. But fortunately, we had some great people over on the cup side kind of already getting that wrangled in. And we had an amazing duel, honestly. Like, Zane did a great job and the crew did a good job. Kind of made our plan going in and everybody stuck to it and it worked pretty flawlessly.
Yeah, I guess thinking about it, you had one of your teammates in the second duel that probably could at least help get you rolling to start with there, right?
Yeah, we definitely had it. We had a teammate and he helped. They all helped, honestly, a ton, right? Like, everybody from each team was more than willing to jump in and do whatever it took on that third cup car, which was great for us. I mean, it really showed a lot of cohesiveness among the front row motorsports group. So I really enjoyed that and was appreciative of that.
And I want to make, cause you said this last night to me in a different setting here, but when you say we, it was your whole truck team that went over and did this cup program as well. I mean, it wasn't just you and your car truck chief. It was everybody, right?
It was everybody. Yeah, we might have played a different role in the cup side, but every single member of our truck team was over there working on the cup car. So, yeah, it was, like I said, it was definitely, we did it as a group. And that was the cool part to me, was that we could do it as a group and stay together. But it definitely made the workload on the truck side and the cup side, it made us kind of, we had to pick our battles, I guess would be the best way to put it.
I'm just blown away by this, because when we look at where we were at, you did not qualify on speed on Wednesday night. So this dual race that you showed up two laps into the race was yay or nay on the Daytona 500. And that just fascinates me that you guys and the way you guys did it. I think that's a fantastic, it adds depth to that story that I think is really, really cool. So Chris, you had shared with us last year on the program the getting acquainted with the seventh generation NASCAR Cup car and how you initially were a little bit resistant to it and how you were warming to the idea. Getting your hands on the car, what was that like to actually be able to work on that race car?
It was really cool to look at some more data, to look through some more sim and maybe try and learn a little bit more about it. I feel like it was cool. It was definitely a learning experience for me. Things that apply to the truck don't apply to the cup car and vice versa. So, and some things do, right? But it was really cool for me to be able to do that. I feel like I got a new appreciation for how close all those cars are and how much it matters on the detail side, which I'm a very detail-oriented person. I really enjoy working on the finer things. So I think that's really cool with a cup car. You can do that and there's juice there. So it was cooler than I thought it was going to be. Still not as cool as trucks, I don't think, but it was definitely a neat experience for me.
Love it.
Oh, that was going to be my next question. Is last fall, you said you weren't sure you were cut out for being a cup guy. Now that you've run it, if the opportunity presented itself in the right situation, do you at least entertain it, or are you a truck guy?
I think I look at it, but I think I'm a truck guy. Honestly, it's the whole experience for me is different. I'm a hands-on guy, and I really enjoy, like, I'll give you an example from the weekend. I was literally went from playing in Bondo over on the truck side, getting through tech and working with the officials, and you know, really enjoy that part of it. Honestly, it sounds crazy, but you know, redoing vinyl and you know, just getting everything you can get. And yeah, I went from that to basically pushing it into a tent and letting them run a scanner over it, and you know, and not having any control over it. It's a tough thing for me. I'm sure I could probably deal with letting go of some of that stuff, but it's hard. I really truly enjoy the truck stuff, and I like the hands-on part of it. So, I mean, I don't know. I would look at it, but I think I'm a truck guy.
And you've got what, five more races that Zane's going to run on the Cup side, but those will be in the 38 car. How's your involvement going to be with those?
Just a more of a mediator for Zane. I'll be there. But just to help them communicate with Zane is probably going to be more my role, and give Ryan what he needs to make that deal successful. You know, he's been going to be working with Todd most of the year, and with me already working with Zane last year, I feel like our chemistry is really good. So whatever I can do to help bridge the communication gap is what I'm going to be doing.
When we look at the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, and I just got rid of Craftsman out of my language 2 years ago, and now I got to bring it back into the language, you know.
And that's a good thing.
I know, exactly. Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a great partner. Thing. Yeah. In looking at the 2023 NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series schedule, you came into last year, you were kind of the hunter, hunting for the progress, hunting for the respect, hunting for everything else. Now you come in as the championship team. Is there a different mindset? Is there a different level of confidence as you roll into the early part of this season?
You know, it's weird. I always look at it like, you know, like we haven't accomplished anything. I guess I'm just as hungry as I was then. And I know Zane is, and we just want to win. You know, now we might have a little more experience to make those calls and feel like we might be doing the right thing, where last year we may not have known. But other than that, I feel like we're in a good spot with, we're just as hungry. I'm willing to work just as hard, and Zane's willing to put in just as much effort. So, no, I honestly, it's weird. I don't feel like we just won a championship. I feel like we've got another one to win.
Really cool. Really cool. You mentioned off to Vegas. You've got a week to get ready for that. And then back to Atlanta for race three. Atlanta's turned into a super speedway race for the Cup cars. It's kind of its own creature. Is it still an intermediate for the truck series?
We approach it as an intermediate. It's very, very, it's super speedway for us, the way it's going to pack up and race, but we basically take an intermediate truck there. Now there's some things that you do with travels and some stuff like that, and you might tone down some of the body stuff to, you know, take some little bit of drag out. But for the most part for us, it's I would call it an intermediate race.
It'll be fun. All those truck series races on Motor Racing Network, of course, all year long. Chris, I want to, I'm looking at your background, born up in Ohio, 37 years old. I see all of the stats, the championships, the K&N series with Todd Gilliland and everything else. But I read somewhere you actually did some driving. What type of driving did you do? What type of a racer were you?
So when I moved to North Carolina in 2003, I bought a late model and ran some late model stock races. I did the, you know, I call it the usual tour there, Hickory, Tri-County, Caraway, and, you know, just kind of, I just had fun with it. I guess I wasn't trying to make a career out of it at that point. I definitely didn't have the money or the backing, and we had some really good runs. I ran some tour races and finished second a few times, and so close to a win, and with a lot of good guys, Matt McCall and a lot of guys like that that were very veteran racers back then in the late model series, and that grew into doing a few Xfinity races and a truck race. I think I've got seven, eight Xfinity races, and you know, mostly start and park stuff where, you know, still had to make the race, but it was a good experience for me, and I honestly got to the point where it's like, man, if I'm to the point now where I need money, I need to step into that next ride that's just a little bit more quality. And when I got to the point where I wasn't going to be able to do that, it was time for me to quit. It's hard. It's hard on everybody around you. You take everything to heart. When you miss a race or you don't run well or you're not fast, you instantly think it's you. And I honestly, for me, I had to step away from it. It was fun. And it was a great experience, but I was ready to work on them. I felt like my value was going to be more in doing that than it was in the seat. So,
and having that passion, it bleeds over into situations that are successful, like you are right now. You want to pick up the English wheel, you want to be the one making the changes, you want to do all the little things, and obviously it's proven out in your path here. As you look at this and going forward and defending your championship. I look back at last year's, and I really, this is ignorance on my part, but I look back at the schedule of last year and all the off weekends you have during the playoffs. Does that hinder you or does that help you as a truck team because of the number of people you have?
It definitely helps. Like I said, we basically have 6 full-time people on our truck program, and I say 5.5. And that's the hard part for us is you never get everything where you want it, right? Like we can work from now till the end of the year just to get our Phoenix truck ready, I feel like, right? So, but you have to pick your battles, and that's where I've gotten better as a leader is knowing where to spend our time. And so the off weeks for me are huge. Still in the shop, never take a day off. I don't feel like in that whole time. When the whole time during the playoffs, I think we took off one day as a team. And honestly, we probably did something together as the team. So that's the great thing about these guys. They just are willing to dig in. They don't give up. And they know what it's like, what that payoff is at the end of the road, because they've seen it now. So, no off weekends, unfortunately, for us.
6 guys, and one of them has never seen much about a truck series or a cup car or anything like that. Sounds like a fun journey, that's for sure. We can't wait to see what you guys do with Vegas and Atlanta and on throughout the season. Chris, what a great weekend at Daytona on both sides of the garage area there. Congratulations on the success, the truck win, and thanks for joining us here on Crew Call.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
There we go. Chris Lawson joining us here on the show. Stay with us. More Crew Call in just a moment.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. So glad you joined us. Todd Gordon and Steve Post here. And boy, I'll tell you what, I love what Chris Lawson has got going on up there at Front Row Motorsports. I love racers. I love guys that maybe know where they're at. I love that they have a kid that's never seen anything. I just think that's fascinating. I love to see that happen. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of that transition, right? From grassroots racer to full time. And the truck series is a great place for it. Love to see people who have passion.
Yes.
You know, who it's not, he hits all the facets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Picks up the English wheel. He's hanging bodies. He's doing what he has to be successful. It's really cool to see that type of personality in the truck series.
Really, truly is. That's for sure. NASCAR 75th anniversary continues on. We go to Auto Club Speedway. One of the things that we've talked about a little bit here on the program and across Motor Racing Network is the fan experience. The 101,000 people that sat in the grandstands at Daytona and the buku people that sat in the infield, they had the fan experience, Todd. What an energy, what a vibe, what a feeling we had in Daytona.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I looked up in the grandstands on Friday.
Friday.
As we were practicing, we practiced, and then for the truck race. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
It was for a truck race piece.
Largest one there. Largest one ever.
Okay.
Largest one ever.
What I looked at said that, but.
Right.
But
largest truck crowd ever.
I felt like it was pretty big.
Yeah. Largest Xfinity crowd since back to the early 2000s, back when it seated 170,000 people.
I'm not so sure that the truck crowd wasn't bigger than the Xfinity crowd.
It was huge.
It was phenomenal. The energy all weekend.
Yeah.
Was just really, really impressive.
We talk about this, and again, the go, you know, if you're on the fence about that race coming up later this year, the experience at the racetrack is unreal. The sights, the sounds, the smells, the stuff you know, NBC and Fox and MRN and PRN, we all do our best to give it to you, but we can't capture all of this, so go to the racetrack.
You'll appreciate it more on TV and radio you've experienced it.
Yes, absolutely.
It's you've got to go experience it.
Yeah.
It's just an environment that...
It's unreal.
I can't tell you how it is. You've got to experience it.
The energy is so good.
The energy was awesome this weekend. And we're going to a racetrack this weekend. My favorite.
Yeah.
This is my favorite.
Why is this your favorite racetrack, crew chief?
Because I've not won there.
You've not? Well, wait a minute. It's your favorite and you've not won it. Now that's backward.
Yeah. Yeah. You go back. I mean, I've got stories here.
Yeah.
2013, we led the white flag lap with Joey.
That's right.
We wrecked in 3 and 4 with Denny.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I've had really good runs there. With Ryan, we had a tire come apart. We really should have in 2020.
Yeah.
I love the place. It's 5 lanes wide. You pick what lane you're going into. The seam sealer is so wide between the asphalt. Between the paving asphalts, that like you pick your groove as you enter the corner. You can't cross these seams. If you do, you're done. So you'll see guys in the bottom. You'll see guys up at the wall. You'll see guys go to lane 2, lane 3, lane 4. It's all over the place. And you'll be able to find clean air.
Yeah.
You can run. And you'll see in 3 and 4, guys down on the flat in the apron.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a cool racetrack. And if you run the apron, you start crossing all those seams and just sliding up the hill, it's... Yeah, to me, it's spectacular racing. Lots of tire fall off. Pit crews will have to do it. Short pitting plays.
Yeah.
Everything I love about racing, everybody in your race team has to be involved to be successful.
And we have with MRN this weekend, analyst Todd Gordon going to join us in the booth. So looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. It's fun to talk about here in the studio, but you're going to sit there and watch it. And it's just a fascinating place to go see racing.
Yeah. 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 There's, somebody I admire the most, Roger Penske, built that place.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And laid that asphalt, 1997?
And we're still racing on it. Yeah, that was pretty good tar and stone there that they put down for sure.
And somebody's going to walk away with the way the schedules are laid out and a discussion of what's happened here. Somebody's going to walk away from this place as the last winner at this Montana racetrack.
No doubt.
Auto Club Speedway.
Auto Club Speedway, that's for sure. Motor Racing Network will be there all weekend long. Saturday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, NASCAR Cup Series practice and qualifying. 4:30 in the afternoon, the Production Alliance Group. 300 for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Defending race winner and one to watch is going to be Cole Custer, because I think the general, as we call him, Cole Custer is he's got this one circled. That's for sure. It's a home race for him as well. Saturday, 2:30 Eastern time, the Palo Casino 400 NASCAR Cup Series. Defending race winner is Kyle Larson. We'll see how Kyle and everyone else fares as we get into the meat and potatoes of the schedule. It is going to be fun. Can't wait, Todd. It's just going to be, this is where we start to learn. This is the first step in kind of building who's the contenders, who's the pretenders, who's got work to do, who's locked into playoffs and everything else.
Yeah, we've kicked the season off with an exhibition race at the Coliseum that was phenomenal again. We've gone to Daytona and we've had that all happen, but now we get into this West Coast swing is what really kind of sets the tone for who's got it and who needs to work on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Motor Racing Network, as we mentioned, is there. And Motor Racing Network is here digitally all week long as well. NASCAR Live, Tuesday nights. That's the Tuesday night tradition with Mike Bagley. NASCAR Live Wide Open is our podcast that is dropped, I think, on Thursdays every week. That's NASCAR Live Plus. A lot of stuff that we didn't need to edit down. We get a chance to let it breathe on that show. NASCAR Coast to Coast. Kyle Ricci and Chris Wilner talk about the roots of racing. Wing Nation, we talk sprint cars there. And, of course, NASCAR Crew Call, the NASCAR Motor Racing Network digital efforts. And now share them with your friends. You see these YouTube videos. You see us here on all of the Spotify's and iTunes and everything. Share them and let people know that you're listening to Motor Racing Network. So we look forward to it. Todd Gordon and the rest of the MRN crew will all be at Auto Club Speedway this coming weekend. We appreciate Chris Lawson joining us here on Crew Call. But more important than all of that, thank you for joining us here this week on the program.